Then, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to your Jefferson County Commissioners Court meeting for Tuesday, January 21st, 2014. We'll begin our meeting today with an invocation led by Commissioner Arnold, followed by a pledge of allegiance led by Commissioner Weaver. If you'll rise, please.
Please bow with me in prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, I humbly ask that you guide our thoughts and our actions so that we are doing your will and acting in a manner that is pleasing to you. Dear Lord, we ask that you give this government body the wisdom to make the right decisions that will benefit the majority. We seek your forgiveness of our sins and strength to avoid future temptation. All these things we ask in your precious name. Amen.
Please join me in reciting the pledge.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, one item under purchasing today. Item A, to consider and approve specifications for an invitation for bid for a turf contract for lighting supplies for runway and taxiway improvements at the Jack Brooks Regional Airport. Do I have a motion on that item?
So moved.
Moved by Commissioner Senegal, seconded by Commissioner Weaver. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The ayes have it unanimously. Under County Airport, item A is consider and possibly approve a lease with Hodder Coaches, Inc. for a land lease. Do I have a motion on that item? Moved by Commissioner Weaver. I'll second it. Seconded by me. The lease is a ground lease for Hotard Coaches that are going to be doing some transfer of workers for the Chenier LNG project. And why don't you tell us more about the terms? I hadn't looked at them in a week and a half.
Right now, this lease is just for what we call the 9/11 parking lot, which is the farthest parking lot away from the commercial terminal. The lease is for 33 and a half months, expiring on October 16th, and that coincides with the company's contract with Bechtel Construction for the Grand Chenier LNG project. Essentially, the contractors will be coming to the airport, park, hop on buses to be transported to the Chenier location. There's two other areas that they're interested in the airport, but this is the only one that's available right now for them. As the project ramps up, they're going to need more space. And they did say that both Chenier and Bechtel did like the idea of having it at the airport, just in case somebody had to fly out, they could hop on the bus and come right over and fly out of here. So. That lot, I believe, will fit close to 300 cars. I'm not 100% sure on that. I looked at the numbers before. It's something like almost 90,000 square feet of parking space, and you can fit a lot of cars in there, but you got to have to allow for the driveways in and out. I think it was three rows or four rows of 70 some odd parking space.
So this is going to be a basic meeting place for local employees or what? It's going to be people from out of state or what?
I would assume it'd be mostly local, not, you know, that live somewhere close, just driving here, because the parking space in the Chenier location is limited. And it's kind of the way that a lot of contractors are going nowadays to bus workers in, so they don't have such a traffic jam during the shift changes.
I would hope that, Mr. Rugg, have you reviewed that? I just don't want us to be in a situation where something is not considered and public can go in a hue and a cry for somebody bringing in some workers that may not be appropriate to the public's standard.
I hear what you're saying, Commissioner, but we don't have any way of controlling who the workers are that are working on this project. I mean, in this This particular lease is just a chance for us to generate some additional airport revenue that we otherwise wouldn't have, but it has nothing to do with how that, how the, those jobs are being staffed. Yes, sir. I understand that, and we really don't have a legal basis to interfere with whatever those contractual relationships are concerning the staffing of the job functions out at the site.
We've not given Chenier an abatement, obviously, because they're located in Louisiana, but because of its proximity to Port Arthur, 70% of the workers that were involved in the initial in construction of the project a few years ago before they started the reversal process came from Southeast Texas. The vice president at Chenier anticipates that 70% of the people on this project will also come from over here in Texas as opposed to Louisiana, especially considering the types of projects that are currently ongoing in Lake Charles. They're having some labor shortages over there, so there'll probably be more than 70% that come from Southeast Texas that work on this Louisiana project. The main reason for the lease is actually to help the people of Port Arthur and Pleasure Island to keep all that traffic off those roadways and to consolidate all these people into buses so that, because all the traffic has to go across the Martin Luther King Jr. Bridge over there in Port Arthur onto Pleasure Island and then across the Causeway Bridge in Louisiana. But we had approved this via kind of a letter of intent here a few months ago, and then they had to go out and bid on the contract and get it. So they're just coming back to do the final contract that we essentially agreed on a few months ago.
I would also remind the court this is, you know, kind of dead parking spaces, if you will, for lack of better terms, and so this would be new revenue for the airport.
Any other questions, discussion?
Just a quick comment. I want to say this. There's a lot, I know there's a lot of private sector folks that were hoping to get this bid, and I've heard a little bit of conflict from some of the private sector folks stating that, you know, they didn't like the idea of the general public, I mean the public bidding against them. But in my concern is, I just want to say that I think this is a great use of public property. We're getting something out of the use of that property that currently was not being generating any revenue for us. The only thing I'd ask is to make sure when we do this type of thing that we are at least in the market pricing on the space, so we are competitive with the private sector and not undercutting them in their efforts to also bid for those kind of projects. And I assume that you did some research on that, did you not?
I did some research based upon like airport property, similar airport property based upon what the FAA likes to see. I did not go outside the airport, to be honest with you. I did ask around a little bit, but I didn't get any written quotes, and I don't know if I'm under or above the market conditions for any other parking space, but based upon current airport properties, it was a little bit over a premium of what we normally get for an improved piece of ground like that.
I don't know.
I would just mention that
what the current market is, but that seems to be a little on the low side of 1.6 cents per space per month. I don't know, based on the square footage, excuse me, not per space. But I would just ask that if we go with any additional areas for them, that we do market research on it to ensure that we are getting competitive marketing prices. Even though we pre-approved this initial letter of intent, I think we still have negotiation power if we decide to lease any other space to them.
I agree with you, Commissioner, but I would just mention for us to not attempt to compete with other people willing to lease their property for parking purposes would be a violation of our FAA covenants, because we are required to attempt to make as much of that property out there and that airport revenue generating as we possibly can. And so,
well, that was emphasis on marketing pricing. That's why I said, as long as we're in marketing based pricing, I have no problem with us doing it. If we're subsidizing, then I do have a problem.
Yeah. Any other questions or discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The ayes have it unanimously. Under County Auditor, item A is to consider and approve a budget amendment for the Criminal District Court for the transfer of three positions. And the education pay, longevity pay, court reporter pay, and assistants and clerks pays are all detailed there on the agenda. This is for the transfer of three employees from the payroll of Judge Lane Walker's 252nd District Court to the Criminal District Court payroll of Judge John Stevens while until the governor appoints a replacement for that bench. Item B is regular county bills, check numbers 389353 through 389643. No. Whenever the governor gets ready to do it. In the interim, it is purely within the district judges, since they're state employees' prerogatives, but they've made arrangements from now until March for Judge Wortham to do a lot of the work that Judge Walker was doing. Hopefully that by then we'll have a replacement, but I hadn't heard anything. Do I have a motion on those two items under auditing? Moved by Commissioner Alford.
Second.
Seconded by Commissioner Senegal. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The ayes have it unanimously. Under County Commissioners, item A is to consider and possibly approve and authorize the county judge to sign and receive and file an interlocal agreement between Jefferson County Precinct 2 and Texas Parks and Wildlife Game Wardens for the use of the office space at Viterbo Road. Item B is to consider and possibly approve and authorize the county judge to execute an interlocal cooperation contract between Jefferson County and Spindletop Center for the Jefferson County Sheriff to provide a mental health liaison deputy to assist Spindletop Center with all of the costs associated with that, including the automobile and other stuff being borne by Spindletop Center through a grant. And item C is to consider and possibly approve and authorize Port Arthur Rotary Club to construct a monument displaying the American and numerous foreign flags on Jefferson County property at the seawall in Precinct 3 and to provide construction and maintenance access via the adjacent county parking lot. Do I have a motion on those items under commission?
Second.
Moved by Commissioner Arnold, seconded by Commissioner Senegal. Discussion.
Judge, we have Mr. Nielsen and two of the other Rotary Club members here.
Good.
He has the plans if what would permit Mr. Newsom to say a few words.
More than welcome, Mr. Newsom. I think I'd seen the plans about a month or so ago, but I don't know that they changed any besides the inclusion of the American flag?
No, sir, just to include the American flag. The only thing that I have to say is we believe it's a great project. We think it'll be there for years to come. And it's a salute to the marine industry, of which we are so grateful to have here. And thank you, gentlemen, so much for your consideration.
Appreciate you. Any other discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The ayes have it unanimously. Under County Treasurer, item A is a receive and file investment schedule for December 2013, including the year-to-date total earnings on county funds. Moved by Commissioner Arnold, seconded by Commissioner Weaver. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Under Engineering, item A is to request approval to release retainage to Basco Construction for the refurbishment of Jefferson County Health Clinic in the amount of $42,003.20. That's application number 9. Item B is to execute, receive, and file a utility permit 01U-14 to West Jefferson County Municipal Water District for the distribution of potable water line along Marsh Road in Hampshire, and that project located in Precinct 3. Have a motion on that item.
So moved.
Moved by Commissioner Senegal and seconded by Commissioner Alford. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The ayes have it unanimously. And under risk management, item A is to consider and possibly approve commercial property insurance renewal with AmRides effective February 1st, 2014, an annual premium of $1,254,603, which is a $71,000+ reduction from 2013. Item B is to consider and possibly approve renewal of boiler and machinery coverage with CNA Insurance effective February 1st, 2014 at an annual premium of $11,344, which is about a $4,000 increase, but we've had some claims on that policy. Item C is to consider and possibly approve public officials liability insurance renewal with Ace American Insurance effective February 1st, 2014 at an annual premium of $26,411. $1,197 increase. Item D is considering possibly approved workers' compensation excess liability insurance renewal with New York Marine and General Insurance effective February 1st, 2014 at an annual premium of $144,032, which is a $12,651 increase from 2013. And item E is to receive and file executed contract between Jefferson County and Interface EAP for Employee Assistance Program renewal. Do I have a motion on those items under risk management? Moved by Commissioner Weaver.
Second.
Seconded by Commissioner Senegal. I know we just had a discussion about this in a workshop last week, but this $26,411 premium for public officials liability insurance under C, Mr. Rugg, is this one that we've never gotten any defense or indemnification on?
That's correct.
That we currently have that outstanding issue on a couple of claims filed against one of our sitting district judges that arguably fall within the limited coverage provided by this policy, and they, to my knowledge, as we sit here today, have not accepted what I believe is a pretty clear obligation to defend these claims under the policy. You know, that's an issue we'll have to deal with later on down the road.
I guess the question is why. I realize we may have some county judge claims, but since the district judges are employees of the state, I'm trying to figure out why we're paying for insurance for them.
Here's the reason for that is, in my opinion, Judge, is because there are some county functions that district judges do perform, such as the juvenile board, purchasing oversight and selection of the purchasing agent. At least a couple of district judges are involved in that. So there are some county functions, and frankly, that's one of the reasons we supplement district judges, is because they perform certain county functions for the county. It's hard for me to understand an insurance company at least not coming in and accepting an obligation to defend claims under a reservation of rights, but we've not even been able to secure that from this company. So I don't know that in and of itself is a basis to not have the coverage, but it's certainly a, in my judgment, a basis not to renew coverage with this company.
But that's the question. Are we renewing with the same company?
I think this is with the same company.
I've got a few more questions.
Can we hold on that?
Yeah, I'd like
to. Let's hold on that. Because I listened to the tape.
Is it okay with y'all the table fee until next week?
Yeah. Thank
okay,
you.
So who made the motion and the... Okay, so we all agreeable to amend it?
I have one question. Is the auditor covered under the same type insurance?
No. I don't
he's
know where
not
they are.
No, but
he's
body. Okay, the judge, he works for the judge.
Yeah, you're right. You work for the judge.
Appointed by the judge.
I mean, they're doing some county functions by appointing the auditor and serving on the juvenile board, but those are decisions that the state made. You know, they made the decision to write the law so that they were the ones who appointed the auditor.
Well, I know, but the state makes the decisions that grants this commissioner's court the authority to do what it does too. So yeah. I don't know that that's a distinction that would justify not purchasing the coverage. I just don't, It's hard for me to justify the expense, except in terms of them providing a defense under the policy, which could be quite expensive if you had to hire outside counsel. Even a claim that has on its face very little merit is still going to require diligent representation. And if you have to hire outside counsel for whatever reason, a single claim would cost you potentially cost you significantly more than the annual premium to defend. So I mean, it's a business decision to make. I'm just not very comfortable with this particular insurance company, absent an explanation for why they have not honored their duty to defend in two claims that have been submitted to
them. Have these claims been, say that hypothetically, if this court decides not to renew, will they still be obligated under their other policy?
Yes.
To do whatever they're going to do under that policy requirements?
Or be held accountable for what it is they've decided not to do.
Okay. So if we went with a new company, then the past claims would still be handled by this company, or we'd have to deal with that in a legal issue?
They have claims made and occurrence policies. And
yeah, there are two different
claims made policies, and so the claims were made during that policy year. They have an option.
Okay.
This does cover other elected officials aside from judges. That just happens to be the only people that have ever had a claim made.
Who does it cover?
It covers all of you.
Everybody?
All elected officials?
Well, I mean, I think at the end of the day, though, what good does it do to have insurance if you can't get your insurance to come out?
Yeah,
I mean,
represent you.
And there is, and Tom knows more about it than I do, obviously. There are some specific items that are at issue, but the fact is that we have a lot of conversation back and forth about whether or not these were state officials versus county officials. And I think that's muddied the water somewhat in this particular issue.
Except that hadn't stopped them from charging and accepting the premiums based upon that coverage. So, I think they're on very thin ice in taking the position they've taken at this point in time. And yes, it's true, state district judges will be afforded a defense through the Texas Attorney General's office, and they are in this case. But that's still no excuse for them not honoring their commitment to provide a defense under this policy. And it causes me concern that they won't honor that obligation to defend. And it can be enforced, but it's certainly not easy.
But it's going to cost us money either way, and we need to make sure that our individuals that are looking at this company.
We need to decide if that's premium money being well spent. Yes.
So am I hearing this right? This is considered secondary coverage?
No, sir. This is a primary coverage. We have a secondary coverage that has acknowledged their responsibility under their secondary coverage, which is indemnity above a $1 million underlying retention. This policy covers the $1 million underlying retention. The excess coverage has been quite candid with us in accepting their potential responsibility under these claims. So, I mean, I don't know. I can't really offer you an explanation because they're not telling us anything.
This is the excess coverage. This is...
Yeah, I think there's a little confusion on this coverage. This is the excess public officials liability coverage. This policy does have $1 million retention. It just so happens that the district judges also carry a liability policy not purchased through our broker and through risk management that has $1 million limit. So this coverage would pick up at the time that coverage, if it had fulfilled that limit.
Okay,
and this is also a policy that was prior to last year was the first time we've had this separate policy for this coverage. Prior to that, we had an excess general liability and workers' compensation coverage. And the company that carried that no longer wrote that type of coverage. This was an all-inclusive, and we've had to, this is our second year, having to separate that out and bid it as separate coverage.
So who's the carrier for the primary?
I don't know. Whoever the district judges have, I think that's something that goes through the auditing department. It's not insurance that we procured.
CNA, I think it's
there. Okay. Well, have they come in to the cases?
We've had some conversations back and forth, but the last email that I remember is that they had
It's hard. That's part of the problem is the coordination between the primary coverage and our policy as an excess coverage.
Let me ask you.
And they have not said that they're not accepting responsibility yet.
If I'm hearing some things, and you guys might need to put this down on paper so each member of this court have what's facts from the professionals that deal with that buzz. Y'all need to put that down so we'll know, okay?
Okay.
Yeah, I just, okay. I didn't understand at the time that we had the workshop that this Ace American was an excess carrier.
I didn't understand that either.
It wasn't said in the tape. I listened to the tape three times.
It's excess to that coverage. It does have $1 million retention. So we're either are on other public officials that aren't covered under another policy, it would be considered that we self-insure up to that $1 million.
Who's placing the primary coverage?
We self-insure, except for those district judges that do have a policy.
Said we're self-insuring up to
yes,
that.
Right. Yes. But it's still considered excess, regardless of whether we have another policy or we're self-insuring, just like on our workers' compensation.
Well, is it an excess policy or is it a policy with $1 million retention?
It's considered an excess policy, just like our workers' compensation, because we're accepting responsibility for the first million, whether it's covered under the district judges who have a separate policy or whether the county's accepting that responsibility.
Yeah, we used to carry an employment practices liability insurance, which kind of came into play in these cases, but we dropped that many years ago.
Okay, I'll tell you what, we'll just go ahead and table this for another week. Number one, you can get alternative quotes from somebody who does communicate with counsel, or so that we have a better understanding of exactly what all our coverages are for public officials.
Okay.
And then we'll move from there. Thank you so much for the explanation.
Thank you.
Okay, on there's no other discussion, and we'll vote under risk management on items A, B, D, and E. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The ayes have it unanimously. And under district attorney, one item, which is item A, to consider and possibly approve a resolution approving the application for the VAWA grant 1346617, Violence Against Women, for the fiscal year September 1st, 2014 through August 31st, 2015. Do I have a motion on that item?
Move. Second.
Moved by Commissioner Senegal, seconded by Commissioner Arnold. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The ayes have it unanimously, and that completes our regular agenda. And if there's anything any member of the court or elected official wishes to bring the attention of the public without our taking action, if not, then we adjourn. Thank you for being here.